Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
And welcome back to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by Rumbleon.com. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson with the great tunes. Love it.
He's having a good Monday.
Yeah, having a great Monday. Hey, joining us right now, we have Corey Curtis from News 2. Let's talk a little bit of everything going on in the landscape. Corey, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Sorry I'm a few minutes late. I was locked up in a vicious game of telephone with my daughter this morning.
Okay, explain that.
Yeah, we need to know.
Well, it was me, my daughter, Monkey, and Teddy, and we were playing telephone, and time got away from me.
Like telephone, like where you pass it around the circle and the message
gets...
Yeah,
and then you find out what you're saying when it's all over. And when you have two inanimate objects involved, it really gets interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Corey, go ahead and jump right into things, too. And I just want to bring up the Tennessee Titans because we want to focus on this as well. And okay. Vic Beasley finally reporting and getting everything done. Just this overall breadth of this as well, finally getting that. And now we're looking at him getting through the COVID testing, him reporting to camp, and finally getting through with this. We've been talking about this for so long in terms of sports here in Nashville. So what does it mean to the team to finally be able to focus now with having him report?
Well, I mean, it's still all just weird. I mean, to be just gone for 10 days and give away potentially like $1.6 million, and we have no idea why. And I guess people could say it's none of our business, but it kind of is our business. I mean, it's what we talk about, and fans want to know. I mean, fans are angry. Fans are disappointed. Fans want to know, you know, because they're counting on this guy to take their team to the next level, and, you know, they want to know if they can count on him. And right now in the can I count on you meter is not measuring very high. You know, now the players all said it's his business and all that and all the, you know, really all the right things, but you know, he's to me, he's starting by, if I was one of his teammates, he'd have to prove some things, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I agree, Corey. I do think, you know, there's, I guess, two groups within the Titans organization that probably look at this a little differently. Like, I could see Vic Beasley endearing himself to his teammates, you know, show up, do the work, demonstrate that you want to be there and play and take part. And I think that the locker room would probably move on pretty quickly. You know, I think for the most part, guys understand what this league is and how, and especially in this time, how decisions are even more complicated now. But if you're John Robinson and company, you can't feel great right now. about this situation, right? And then I guess my question for you is then, do you think that also frames how they look at other potential players out there that they might add?
Well, you know me, Joe. I've felt they, even with Beasley, they still need to add Clowney. And I still look at that defensive line with the Jarrell Casey hole and say, how do they replace it? So I still think they need to add the big guy, if at all possible. You know, especially if you're running after Mahomes and Watson and all these guys, you need as many of these guys as you can get, and there's a really good one out there. So I think regardless of Beasley, that they should go get him. But, you know, for me, I am still wondering. My big concern right now is how committed is he to this football team? Because I don't know why he was gone. So I'm wondering how committed he is to this football team. I still wonder, will he be there week one? Because these situations don't ever work out well when guys are mysteriously gone. Or I mean, there's not a lot of them. But when guys just aren't there, there's just not a lot of record of things going well.
And continuing to look at this as well, looking at the rookies finally hitting the field, we're seeing these images because we're not having much access right now to seeing things aside from Zoom meetings.
None.
Yeah. So you have these Zoom conference calls, that's about it. We're seeing images of the rookies. Looking at this as well, what rookies are we looking at making that initial impact? And if anything, will they make an impact?
Well, I mean, some are going to have to, but I mean, that's the really big question. I mean, we had Floyd yesterday, we talked with him some about is it even realistic to have the same expectations for this rookie class that you would have for a normal rookie class? Because I don't think so. I mean, you can say they had a great virtual offseason. A virtual offseason doesn't teach you the speed of the National Football League, doesn't teach you, you know, the way that you do things, doesn't teach you the nuances of the defense when you're on the field communicating with your teammates. You know, that all comes from doing it. And they're missed out on a whole lot of time of doing it. So I would think it's going to be a slow start for a lot of those guys. But, I mean, some of them are going to have to contribute. You know, thankfully, you know, Isaiah Wilson, you know, has somebody in, you know, with them there with Dennis Kelly where he doesn't have to come in. He doesn't have the pressure of, okay, you got to come in and start day one. You're a first-round pick. I don't think that pressure is there. Does that mean he can't start day one? No, it doesn't. But he doesn't have to. Now, I think, you know, Christian Fulton's going to have to play some. And Darrington Evans is going to have to play some. You know, but thankfully, I think for running backs, you know, outside of pass protection, I think it's, you know, those guys, you can give them smaller packages and they can do okay. And so I expect him to do that. You know, but Fulton, you know, the pressure is certainly going to be on. And with the defensive line situation, you know, Murchison may have to contribute. So we'll see how ready he is to go.
And again, Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here on Morning Drive. And Corey, in Athletic, they have the Titans defense ranked 18th currently, mm-hmm. last year at 16th. How much of a difference is Jadeveon Clowney going to make in terms of boosting that defense up? We that's an obvious question, of course, but do you think it's going to make mm-hmm. enough for them to improve into, say, top 10? Or is it just a few spots that you think they would rank them in terms of the NFL?
Well, look, if Beasley can manage to stay in town for a while and they could add Clowney, I mean, I think that can move them up into the you know, the top 10 range. I don't think top 5, but I think, you know, in that 8 to 12 range, I think it can move them up into there for sure. Because, you know, what's the difference between having Jadeveon Clowney line up as your defensive end or having Isaiah Mack or Jack Crawford? I mean, to me, that's pretty significant. And so, you know, I think that's a reasonable investment to make your defense better. I could be wrong on that, but I look at it and I see it as a real difference. I mean, you know, I think fans look at Jadeveon Clowney, some do, and they look at the 3 sacks from last season. They think he's overrated. They think he's, you know, not as good as all the hype. And maybe he's not as good as all the hype, but he was rated number 41 in the league by his colleagues, and he may not be the best 41st best player in the National Football League, but that's what those guys think of his ability and his impact on games. So, you know, he is someone you have to account for on the field, and he does make plays. You know, you go back to last season and he may have only had 3 sacks. He had forced fumbles. I think he scored 2 touchdowns. He's long. He's strong. He sets the edge. You know, he's very good against the run as well. You know, he does a lot of things to make your defense better, and I think he could certainly make the Titans' defense better.
Okay, Corey, let's switch to the NFL's unofficial farm system. Things do not look good at this point for college football. Nothing has been decided or voted on yet, but what's your view of that situation?
You know, it's interesting, Joe, because, you know, yes, COVID-19 is certainly a reason to shut it down and something that everybody's talking about with it and, you know, the driving force. But, you know, I think the other factors involved here are these institutions' fear of getting sued, number one. And number two, you know, you saw it yesterday again with players on Twitter, the players organizing. I think players organizing, you know, is another big problem for these universities. And I think they don't know what to do, frankly. I think that there's a lot of fear. But, you know, another point I heard brought up yesterday, and I agree with it, is you were just putting out revised schedules a few days ago, and now suddenly you're ready to can the season. What was the big switch? Is the MAC canceling games your big switch? Because if the MAC is making decisions for everyone, then we should just get rid of all the other league commissioners and just put Giant Steinbrecher in charge.
Maction. I love the Maction. Yeah. Well, now, and you're right. It looks that way because they make the decision Saturday. Now this all coming out. I mean, I think those things are independent of each other to a certain point, but I think you're dead on about fear. I mean, everyone is afraid. Everyone has been afraid to make a decision and has been trying to push it. And now we're at the point where you've got to make a decision.
Well, I think they should keep pushing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying we're going to keep pushing it. Just say, hey, the numbers are too high. We want to play, but we can't play in the situation we're in right now. So we're going to keep pushing it in hopes we're going to play. Why not just say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be more. That may be said this week. And it may be, Corey, that some leagues do something and we still wonder for a while about other leagues, which would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
too.
Hey, we've been begging you to wear masks, but we're telling you right now, if you don't put masks on, we're not going to play.
Make it that simple.
Yeah. I mean, hey, these coaches have been trying.
They're trying. Well, Corey, we got to get to break, but thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your insight.
Yep. Sorry I was a little late, guys.
All good.
Good,
get that coffee.
Thanks, bud.
All right, up next, we're going to get back to the Predators, talk more about Matt Duchene. Are the Preds trending up or down right now as well? Joe, I know we have some thoughts on that. All that up next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton on with the podcast.